Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
And welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. And we are here actually at a client, a new friend's home in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Big shout outs and thank you for letting us broadcast from her home here. And we are so excited because we've got some really exciting things for you today. We've got our good, wonderful friend Janae Bowen, who is from Dog E911, who's going to be joining us during the second segment today. And she is going to be telling us about disaster preparedness and how to set up a disaster kit for our dogs and our other animals in case of an emergency. So this is really important stuff here, folks. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times when there's an emergency in a home, a fire or a flood or some kind of a natural disaster, everybody's focused on the humans, and of course we want them to be, but we all, for the love of dog, love dogs. So not just dogs, but other animals can face problems in time of disaster, in time of crisis. Well, Janae is going to be with us second segment to be able to show us what we can do, how we can prevent our dogs from a terrible fate and save them in time of an emergency. Well, we've got a lot of really wonderful things that we're doing this week. And after a little bit, we'll be joining our new guest. But for right now, I want to talk about one of the things that we've been getting a lot of questions and a lot of listener email. People who have had a fearful dog who they either rescued or they raised, and all of a sudden the fearful dog makes that fateful jump from fear to fear aggression. What exactly happens in a dog's mind when it changes from fear to fear aggression? Well, it's really kind of a funny thing if you think about it. What makes a person fearful? Maybe they have a phobia. Maybe someone was unkind to them. They had a bad relationship. They moved. They lost something. They lost someone. And in that moment that the dog is fearful, if we are going to be giving the dog confidence and comfort, the dog is going to think it's actually okay for it to become that and to stay that and to remain upset, to remain scared, to remain uncertain. So we don't want to reward a dog because we feel sorry for him. Now, this adorable little dog, her name is actually Sweetie, and I wish I could take a picture of her because she is sweet. She's a little Italian Greyhound Chihuahua mix, and she just is such a lover. And as anybody knows, I had a dog named Sweetie who actually is now a service dog for a military veteran. Well, this little Sweetie is also fearful like our Sweetie was. The difference is that this Sweetie weighs, about 15 pounds, and we're going to have to get a picture of her and post her on the website because she's just way too cute. But this dog is very much like many of your dogs, where you get a dog and you're not quite sure what to do. So instead of doing something wrong, you do nothing. Well, is it better to do nothing or is it better to do something? Well, sometimes it's better to do nothing, but I'm going to teach you what to do now. When your dog is fearful, angry, anxious, whatever it is, jumping up on the chair at dinner time, don't worry about that moment if you're disturbing somebody or anything's happening. You've got to fix it, because if you don't fix it, it's kind of like the phrase tacit assent. I love that phrase. I used to teach all my SAT kids that. Tacit, T-A-C-I-T, assent, A-S-S-E-N-T. Tacit assent is when you don't complain about something or correct it, so by not complaining or correcting it, you're actually acquiescing or accepting it. So that's kind of like somebody steals your spot in a parking lot. Now, yes, you're not going to get into road rage at Christmas time, not that that doesn't happen, but you should at least make a correction. Even if you're not winning, you should tell that person, hey, that was my spot, I was waiting. I'm the bigger person, so I'm going to go find another spot with someone who's not as rude, but hey, that's not right. At least you're doing something. What most people do, though, is they either curse under their breath or they continue on with whatever it is. So the person who did or the animal who did that behavior never learns that the behavior was inappropriate. Now, is that doing a service or a disservice to that person or animal? Well, when people say, oh, you know, if my child ever stole, you know, little something from the store, I would ignore it, and then he would realize he wasn't going to get my attention. Well, hopefully your child doesn't say, hey, wow, that's pretty cool. I stole that and nothing happened, so maybe I can just steal something else. I'll just steal something bigger. You have to correct the behavior, because if you don't correct the behavior, you are tacitly assenting to the behavior. You're saying, well, you know, I really don't want to correct it, or it's not a big deal. But for a dog, dogs are very black and white, and as we talk about every week, when a dog thinks that it's okay, you're not helping him. You're hurting him, because it's like a child and teaching a child that it's okay to say foul language and thinking it's cute that your two-year-old is, you know, flipping the bird to somebody in a supermarket. Well, if it's not okay when he's 10 to do to a teacher or the principal, then it's not okay for him to do in the shopping cart when he's 2. Because you want to teach him right, and you want to teach your dog right. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things through the next few weeks about different types of fear, fear aggression, and behavioral issues that pop up. But this is a time when people are starting to get into, we just finished Halloween yesterday, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, we've got Christmas, and we've got New Year's. And there are a lot of Christmas puppies and Christmas rescue dogs that are starting to be given up by their owners. And I assure you that every dog in a shelter is there for a reason. Now, it doesn't mean that the dog's issue caused it, but it means that the dog had something happen in its life or in its owner's life that caused it to be in that position of being given up. Well, most of the time when you have a dog, and especially a rescue, there's a two-month period that we call the honeymoon period, which means that during that first 2 months, it's kind of like when we ladies and you gentlemen are really nice to each other on our first several dates because we want to make a good first impression. Well, dogs do that too. So we want to make sure that when we are working with our dogs, that we give them the correct first impression. Don't worry about the dog not liking you. It's more important for the dog to respect you and to learn what the proper behavior is than to love you the first 5 minutes that he's seeing you. The more important thing is to make sure that the dog learns the right way from the beginning so he doesn't wind up doing the same behaviors that he did in his previous home or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 homes. That's why dogs are regifted and rehomed from place to place to place, because nobody fixed that behavior. Kind of like the Christmas fruitcake. Well, nobody, I don't think, has ever eaten a Christmas fruitcake. I think it's the same Christmas fruitcake that gets regifted over and over and over again. I've received it a few times, and I'm sure you have too. It's got a dent in the top where a cherry used to be, where some kid decided he was going to poke his finger, because who would eat that crazy-looking green piece of fruit that looked like the dinosaurs had trampled it? So we don't want to re-gift dogs. Pets are for life. They're not for Christmas. They're not for a birthday. They're forever. And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice and make that commitment to have that pet for life, Please don't make that decision lightly. Well, we are going to be right back. I want everyone to hold on and stay stuck to your seats, because we have Janae Bowen of Dog E911 who's going to give us an amazing, amazing tool to be able to help our dogs in times of emergencies. Please stay tuned for the next portion of For the Love of Dog.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we are going to go right into our wonderful guest, Janae Bowen, because I want to give Janae plenty of time to give you all the information she has. We're going to have Janae on periodically, probably about every month or so, giving different tips for all of you to keep your dogs healthy and safe, not only through the holiday season, but throughout the whole year. Some of her tips are going to be very common sense, and some of these things are really revolutionary. They're things that you will not hear anywhere else. Janae, thank you so much for being with us from California, where it's nice and still light out. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Janice, for having me on.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, I want to let you take the mic here. I want you to be able to tell everybody all these great things of, you know, kind of what they should be doing with their pets in the case of emergency.
Okay. Well, I guess first I should just tell a little bit about what I do. My program is called Dog E911. It's an all-pet emergency care training program. What I try to do is basically help everyone to understand the human-animal bond. For those that have animals, we all know that already, but for those that, you know, maybe don't have animals, or those that maybe are a little unsure, I try to help kind of explain that and help people to understand the way that that works. I also do disaster preparedness and planning instruction, so that way we as an animal owner as an animal professional, if we have a business, a rescue, a kennel, a daycare, any type of business where it would be working with an animal of any kind, really, because we promote all animal care. We help to teach you how to prepare for a disaster and plan ahead and know your rights and the laws that affect you, things to have ready and things that you can work with other community access plans. If you're a first responder, so that you can know how things work together, working under the incident command system and how you work as a team with animal response. And then the other portion of the things I do is making sure that we know prevention care for our animals, so that way we can identify things early on, long before the animal becomes sick. A lot of times what happens is the animals are not, they don't tell us, they can't just come up and say, this is what's going on with me. So if you can identify the things and you can assess, that's going to help possibly save their life and make a difference for the animal. And then giving alternative remedies and things that you can do to help your pet, as well as the first aid triage and all the time-sensitive materials. And that comes in really to play when I'm working with the first responders doing the critical care stuff, especially because they are people that are going to be experiencing these types of instances, where it be a car accident and a fire, some type of emergency, and they may have to be able to assess and give help and triage and critical care to an animal.
Awesome. So what are we going to learn today? What are we going to learn? Like, for instance, in the home I am right now, there's a 15-pound really adorable dog here, a Chihuahua Italian Greyhound mix, and there's this really cute guinea pig.
Okay.
So what? I mean, we've got a dog and a guinea pig. We've got different species. Is there something that is common to both of those species and to animals in general?
Well, what I was wanting to talk about today was disaster preparedness, and I think that is, will affect any animal. It'll affect us as the owners as well, but it's definitely going to affect any animal. Because in a disaster, all the rules are off. Everything's off. So everything changes. And so we want to make sure that as animal owners and animal caretakers, that we are planned and ready and prepared for our animals, just like we would plan and prepare for ourselves in a disaster.
Wow, that's awesome. So what would be like common to any animal in a disaster? What kind of a thing would we want to do? Let's say, I know you're supposed to get bottled water. I remember mm-hmm. when we had Y2K, all of us bought like 4,000 gallons of, bottled water and canned food and non-electrical can openers, and we all sat with it in our,
right.
basically, so we donated it to the next disaster relief, and they got a lot of cans of baked beans. What can we do for animals in that case, though?
Well, there are specific things that you want to have, and I do have a checklist on my website, which I'm going to talk about some of those things today, and people are welcome to go to my website and pull off the checklist and write down and check off the things that they have and make sure that they have them for their pet. My website is really easy. It's just www.dogeemergency911.com, and they can go there under disaster info and look at the checklist. But there are specific things that you need to have, for all animals. And it doesn't matter if it's a hamster to a horse. You've got to have preparedness for all animals, because none of these animals can take care of themselves in the event of a disaster. They're just like a child. They depend on you to plan and prepare for them. So they have to have this stuff ready. And so when you're planning your items for disaster, you need to have specific things for each type of animal that you own. First thing I recommend is that they're kept in a waterproof and an airtight and portable container. And that's because you want things to stay safe. You want them to stay clean and dry. You don't want them getting contaminated. You want to make sure it's portable so that you can take it with you, obviously, if you have to evacuate. So that's very important. Animal identification is very important also for all pets. I don't care what kind of pet you have to have them ID'd, because if you're thinking a large-scale disaster, which we have a lot of those, a large-scale disaster, you've got multiple animals that are affected. And so being able to properly identify your animal and prove that you own that animal is vital. So we've got to make sure that we have identification. Microchipping is one of the biggest things that you can do to make sure that your animal is help, you know, is able to get back to you. Because a lot of the other things can fall off. They can fall off, get pulled off, break. But the microchipping, because it's embedded, you know, under the skin, it is something that will be able to help identify your animal and help get it back to you. But there's other things with identification that you can do too. I mean, there's collars and tags and, you know, our leashes and our halters for, like, our horses and stuff, our leg and neck bands, which you would put on, you know, some farm animals and chickens and things like that. Anything that you can do to help identify the animal is really important. And going back to the microchipping, you want to make sure you know your animal's microchip numbers, because if you have them chipped but you don't have their numbers and you've never registered them, then it's no good.
You know, and there's a lot of people, Janae, who say, my dog is microchipped, but I don't have the card.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you haven't registered it, it's like,
absolutely,
if you buy a car or a boat, it's still registered to whoever had it before.
Absolutely.
And if they don't know who you are, if nobody's ever registered it,
mm-hmm,
it's just this random number. It's like having a lottery ticket and not really knowing what lottery it's for. You know,
absolutely.
You're not gonna be able to help find your dog unless you're actually able to identify your
absolutely
dog.
Absolutely.
And it's
absolutely
interesting, because I know there are tags that actually come with the microchip number on them so that they have the tag and the microchip. But that is something really interesting, because people don't think about it.
They don't a lot of times. And I think that it's really important. All of my animals are chipped. They wear the chip on their tags, but I also carry the card in my wallet, so I have their number. And then if I change my phone number, that's another thing. If you change your numbers or your address, you need to call in and make sure that is changed. Because if you move and they contact you at the old address or the old phone number, they're not going to be able to get that animal back to you. So you need to make sure that all of your information is current on all of your animal's identification as well, and that includes the microchip numbers.
Okay, you know what, Janae? We got to break for a commercial.
Sure.
I hate to do it.
Sure.
But we have to, because we have wonderful sponsors. I know you're going to stay on, because otherwise I'm going to be not very happy. You've got to stay on till the end of the show.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And today, our incredible guest, Janae Bowen from Dog E911, who is not just Dog E911, but is Animal E911. Janae was telling us about these disaster kits that we should be doing. And some of the stuff is kind of common sense, but, you know, we're nodding our heads going, yeah, we don't have a card for the microchip on us. So it's really great information. Janae, I want you to continue on about dogs, but we have a lot of people who have, even though they've got dogs, they've got exotics like, you know, squirrel monkey, or they've got, you know, a salamander, or they've got a ferret. Like some of our friends have several ferrets. mm-hmm. or a cat. Are there different things that have to be done in a disaster for these different exotics who might need, like, warmth in their body? Like, how do you keep something warm when your power goes out in January?
Absolutely. I recommend, I mean, like I said, if they go to the list, they'll find a lot of the different things that I'm talking about and even some things that we may not be able to hit on. But there's, you know, if you have an animal that needs to control its body temperature, obviously, which would be our reptiles especially, when that could be, you know, an iguana, it could be turtles, it could be, you know, a snake, a boa constrictor, whatever, any animal, and even some of our pocket pets, you would need to have a generator. You would need to have some type of source to make sure that you can help keep these animals' body temperature regulated during a disaster. And on any of those animals, too, they're normally kept in some type of an enclosure. You need to have an enclosure for them for disaster. You need to have that. Just like you would get a dog a crate or cat a crate, you need to have an enclosure for disaster for those type of reptiles or birds or pocket pets that you would be taking with you, or even your fish, because maybe your tank for your boa constrictor or your large fish tank, you're not going to be able to grab that and run out in a disaster and take that with you. You need to have another portable container that you can use to move those animals into so that you can take them with you when you evacuate.
That's awesome. So let's say you said about a generator. Now, how about if somebody lives in an area, let's say they're in a building in the city or they're somewhere and they can't afford or can't get a generator because, of course, they have to be outside. So if you don't mm-hmm. like, let's say you're in New York City and the power goes out. What can you do in a city when you can't access a generator because, you know, obviously you have to vent a generator outside people, in case you don't know that. Carbon monoxide can kill you. If you don't have an outside area, you can't have a generator. What other kind of maybe portable generators are there out there that people can use for, like, their exotics?
There are. And I do tell people to get these things for you know, their own keeping of their animals. But the nice thing is because of the fact that so many laws and things have changed since 2006, since Hurricane Katrina happened. And I mean, I'd love to hit on some of that because I think it's so important because a lot of people don't know the laws. But there's, because of this, and we've had this cross-the-board scale of disaster response and the way that things work now, there are a lot of our kennels, our facilities that we've set up for disaster response, they also will carry these things and have disaster plans set up within their themselves, whether it be a humane society, a private business like a doggy daycare, where they have set up disaster plans with themselves, and then you can also leave your animals with them if you don't want to take them with you, or if maybe you can't take them with you, but you want to make sure to get them out safely. They will have a lot of the things as well stocked for to take care of these animals of multiple kinds. And so that's another thing that's an option for people, as well as planning for themselves. I think it's important because in a disaster, especially large scale, you really need to have enough things to be on your own for 3 days. But there are other options to you, and knowing all of your options and having all of those things set up is going to give you, obviously, the best plan of response.
All right, so you were saying about 3 days. Now, those of us in New Jersey remember Hurricane Sandy, which was, for some people, up to 3 weeks.
Yes.
So what can you do with, let's say, an exotic or something that needs that heat, you know, in a longer period of time? Because obviously the emergency centers aren't going to be like, oh, gee, let's bring your poisonous snakes and your boa constrictors and your, you know, 14-pound lizard that's going to scare the little old lady that's trying to sleep next to it. What kind of stuff can you do? I mean, I know during Sandy, a lot of people relocated some of their animals to relatives and friends who lived in other areas that did have power.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is why when you set up, you know, besides planning for the kit and the things that you need to have for your animals, you also need to have a plan of evacuation where you know where you're going to be going. And that could be either to a friend or relative, to a campground, to a hotel, somewhere, a shelter that does allow pets, because not all shelters do, somewhere that you can go with those animals in the event of, you know, being evacuated. And then, you know, if that is the case and you are evacuated and you can't be with them, there are the other places, like I talked about, like farms that open up their land. There are fairgrounds that open up for housing animals, the humane societies and different places. There's different groups that work together under national agencies and under this disaster response program so that we have stuff set up for our animals. And we have a national law that was set in effect in 2006, and now 30 states have gone in and made their own state laws as well to make sure that we have provisions for our animals. And so there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, basically will help us take care of our pets in a disaster. It's just, like I said before, not a lot of people know these things, and that's why I think it is so important to have your plan of action, have your kits, and then know what your rights are and know what the community access plan is so that you know where to go and where you can go.
Wow, that's awesome. We're going to have to call this show For the Love of Dogs, Ferrets, Gila Monsters, Lizards, Snakes, and Exotics if we keep going this way. It's awesome stuff because, you know, this is, I know, something very important. Even during Sandy, I had my horse and donkey running around the neighbors in Monmouth County, New Jersey, because our fence came down because this gigantic tree literally just missed the barn. But it, you know, it came across the fence, and I didn't want to keep the horse and donkey and the other animals locked in a building, God forbid. So I left the doors open, and they were able to get out before, you know, obviously the tree hit. But one of the things is that people don't think of, you say, oh, I can see with the streetlights. You know, you got to have fresh batteries, folks.
Yeah.
You got to have, you know, those little, even though they're a real pain in the neck, those hand crank little flashlights, they're really, really handy in time of emergency. Because as many batteries as you buy, you're not going to have enough. And remember, you can't recharge your rechargeable batteries, smart people who say, oh, I've got rechargeables. Well, good. Try to recharge them with no electricity. It doesn't happen. And when you have gas lines, because I used to charge my phone for that 2 weeks, I was charging my phone, well, I had a generator, but also charging it in my car. So just remember, you've got to make sure that you've got enough, you know, animal food. You know, you guys, you men out there, I know I'm going to pick on you, but, you know, the pet food store may not have your brand of food in the middle of a hurricane. You might want to have an extra bag, like Janae is teaching everybody. You got to have some extra provisions just in case. And Janae is going to be giving us a lot more information in just a few moments with more about our dogs and critical care in time of emergencies. And I know you're all going to stay tuned. For the love of dog, ferrets, Gila Monsters, Lizards, and Snakes. Stay tuned.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog and Ferret and Gila Monster with Janice Wolf. And we're going to continue on with the inimitable, wonderful Janae Bowen from Dog E911. And Janae is actually going to post for our listeners an awesome list for disaster preparedness of a list of things that you should have for your dogs, cats, other animals, exotics, in case of emergency. You know, Janae, this is something that I think most people don't really think about because we always assume, oh, you know, if something happens, you know, the power will go back on in a day and, you know, maybe we'll have to, like, oh, the refrigerator, you know, maybe the refrigerator won't work and we'll have to throw out some food, but it'll be okay. And, you know, we've had some really horrible things. We've got our people from United Canine Professionals in Colorado who were actually affected by the flooding. We've got a little boy who's going to be getting a service dog from merlinskids.org, a little boy who actually had his service dog lost and they believe killed in that disaster, and we're going to be training a new service dog for him. So if anybody has any year-end giving they would like to give, please go to the merlinskids.org website and click on the donate button if it's something substantial. I'd really appreciate if somebody would contact us. You can contact us at Janice@merlinskids.org because I know a lot of people have asked how they can help those people in Colorado. We've had wildfires in California. We've had some really horrible disasters, not just in the United States, but all over the world. So I think it's a really important thing because it seems like the animals are always the ones who kind of wind up, you know, getting the short end of the deal because, you know, obviously the humans, you know, some of us, I mean, I wouldn't leave my dogs. There's no way. I have a beautiful RV that we recently purchased that is set up exactly for a disaster. It has its own generator. We have extra gas, and we have a big, big tank so that if we do have a problem, our dogs can be in the RV with us. And so, you know, you can think ahead. Sometimes you can do multiple purposes. But the key is to have a plan. Janae, am I right in that? Is that the biggest thing people lack is a plan?
It is, and you know, you talking about the different disasters, it brings up a lot of things for me. One of the things that that I've found working with animals during disasters is that most people don't know, you know, what to do. They don't know what to have ready. They don't know where they can go, and they don't even know that they are supposed to take their animals with them at times because not that long ago, in 2006, when Hurricane Katrina happened, they were told to leave their animals behind. And that is what sparked, you know, so much change in the animal community. And because of the fact that there was so much wide-scale, you know, needless suffering, basically, from animals. I don't know if you know this statistic, but over 600,000 animals were either killed or were left homeless because of Hurricane Katrina.
Wow. That's
a huge amount.
About 3 months of the United States.
It's just
kill rate, right? We have 4 million dead dogs a year. So that was another 600,000.
It's just unreal, and it was totally needless. So, you know, and then there was people that wouldn't evacuate. So then they had, you know, rescue efforts compounded because people were trying to go in and get them out. You know, statistics show that people won't leave their animals behind, and you know, that is why the things have had to change because of it. But you've got, you know, in a disaster, you've got, you know, health and safety risks, you've got, you know, spread of disease, you've got, you know, economic loss, and you've got even, you know, animal carcasses that are left behind, you know, whether it be farm animals or livestock animals that have been injured. So knowing the laws and knowing what to do is extremely important. And in 2006, there was a law that was passed called the Pets Act, which basically was signed into law into late October of 2006. And it basically requires that all of our local and state emergency preparedness agencies have to have plans of actions to include our animals. And that's not just during the disaster. That's before the disaster and after the disaster, to make sure that there's plans of action before and there's action afterwards to make sure that we are able to get back to into our homes and get things back set up again. This works under FEMA, which is our Federal Emergency Management Agency, and it basically helps us to provide the aid that we need for animals and help create pet-friendly shelters, which is what I was talking about earlier, because not before that, there was no shelters that were taking in animals, basically, and even still, there are shelters that won't, like if you go to Red Cross, you cannot stay there with your pet unless you have a service animal, which not everyone has, so you're turned away. And I've seen that working on disasters where people were turned away. And I totally support Red Cross and work with them all the time. But I want to make sure that we are working together to make places where we can stay with our animals. And that's one of the things that I do working with VOAD. And probably a lot of people don't know what that is, but VOAD is a national organization that works together with agencies during disasters. And it works in state, it works in countywide, it works in national chapters. And what they do is they help to work together to build a strong plan of action. And that includes setting up shelters where you can stay with your animal and setting up places where your animals can be taken and that you are near them so that you're co-located so that you can come over and see your pets and help us with them. Because honestly, they don't want to see me. They want to see you. They, you know, obviously we want the people they're helping them and we want the people that are on call and working during the disasters to help with pets, but they also, the animals need to see you and need to be with you. So we want them co-located also so that way you can be near your animals and help. And so that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't know is that there is a national law set up and there are provisions that care for animals. I've worked with a lot of, you know, first responders that don't even know these laws, and they are teaching people to prepare for disaster. They're educating people about where to go and what to do. But, you know, they're not always giving out the correct information as well because, you know, if they don't know it, how are they going to give it out? And there's like 30 states also within our country that have also set up provisions and plans that work with the Pets Act to basically make sure that we have a standardized emergency system to work with all of our animals. So basically, there is no more you leaving your animals behind. You take them with you, and you have a provision set up for them. And there are animal disaster response branches that work within this VOAD community to make sure that our animals are taken care of. There's even a national vet group that works under the disaster provision and is there on call in the event of an emergency as well.
Wow, that is awesome. And, you know, I want to offer something along with that through United Canine Professionals, since we are national and international, because we are an awesome team of behaviorists, the natural canine behaviorists around the country. And there are a lot of us in about 37 states right now. And in case of an emergency, if you have your well-behaved dog going into a situation like this versus someone who's got a dog aggressive or people aggressive dog, I think that dog aggressive or people aggressive dog should get some help through. I will volunteer our services in case of emergency free of charge to anyone in the area who needs help with their dog behaviorally to rehabilitate that dog, to get it into a shelter or rescue so you can receive help. Because we at United Canine Professionals see dogs who are not the best behaved dog. And that's a problem, because if you have a dog that is not welcome into a shelter or relocation center because it doesn't like other dogs or cats or kids or whatever, I'm gonna pledge that today, my whole team across the country, that we will help, God forbid, in the next emergency, that we will help any of the people who need us free of charge so that they can get the help they need. We are going to be back for our last segment in just a moment with some final comments from Janae and some wonderful pearls of wisdom. We look forward to hearing from you. Also, make sure you email us, give us a call, check us out online, and let us help you. We'll be right back with For the Love of God.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog and Little Domestic Animals with Janice Wolf. We're going to ask Janae Bowen from Dog E911, who is a truly incredible lady who is helping to not only help us in times of disaster, national disaster, but also in times of personal disaster, in case of fire, in case of emergency, in case of a gas leak, whatever happens, so that we're able to help our animals. And she's going to help us. Janae, tell me about that cool stuff that we were just talking about a little bit about some kind of masks that are available free of charge.
Well, I work with Project Breathe, and Project Breathe basically donates animal oxygen masks to our first responders so that they can help save our animals' lives in the event of an emergency. And then I do the training, obviously, for the first responders. It's wonderful because, you know, these masks are just another tool that can help our, you know, first responders who want to save lives anyway, make a difference in possibly saving our animals' lives. And that is why it's so great. There's always funding needed for Project Breathe. So, I mean, they can go to Project Breathe on the web and basically donate if they want. It helps keep the masks for free to the fire departments. They can go to my website and use the donation button there as well to do that, which, again, my website is www.doge911.com, D-O-G-E for emergency, 911.com. And it's just, again, another way of helping to keep our animals safe for any type of emergency that a first responder might respond to, for a car accident, fire, or even in a disaster. So it's just another thing that can keep our animals safe.
Tell me about these masks. Like, how small are the masks, and how big are the masks, and how do you stick a mask on a gerbil?
The masks come in multiple sizes, and they are made specifically to fit over the animals' faces. They have a rubber gasket, so they have a nice tight seal, and they basically, you know, just basically slide right over the front of the animal's muzzle. I mean, you can even use it over the beak of a bird. They can be used, you know, for parrots and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's basically multiple use that you can get out of them. And it's just, you know, obviously knowing how to use them properly and how to do the CPR properly, which is the important thing along with that. But if we have these tools to give to our first responders, it's just another way of helping to keep our animals safe. And that's why, you know, I think it is so, so very important.
Wow. Janae, let me ask you something. I know you do this incredible training, and I've seen you do it, and it's really fascinating to realize that we can do rescue things on our dogs, not just direct pressure and things we talked about when we had you on last time. But, you know, when we're talking about an animal, like especially, you know, let's say an exotic or something, how can people, I know you can't do it over the airwaves, but how can people watch one or maybe have you come out, perhaps if they're a member of a kennel club or if they're a member of an animal group or even like a rotary club where a lot of people, you know, in the town might have an animal. How can people get in touch with you personally to be able to ask you to come out and do one of these disaster preparedness? And how long does that take?
Well, I mean, I do multiple different types of seminars. I mean, I can do something that's just a disaster preparedness program. I can do the holistic stuff, the alternative stuff. I do animal massage therapy programs to teach you how to work with your pets and keep them healthy as they age, working with, you know, seizures, working with an animal that has, you know, arthritic, as well as doing, obviously, the triage and first aid. Basically, all they have to do is contact me through the website. Again, it's doge911.com, and there's a contact form on there that they can fill out and reach out to me and let me know what their situation is, what they, you know, what they're looking for. They can go to my website and see some of the things that we offer. And through that, you know, obviously, I can help set up a plan of something for them that we can do and train. I teach across the country. I just got back from the South Carolina, North Carolina region, which I was working with you during that time as well. And I basically, you know, make it so that I can work with multiple groups at that time, and that way, you know, it kind of works out better for everyone involved. But you know, it's very easy to connect with me and let me know what you're working, and I will try to tailor the program to your needs. Because if, you know, let's say you are just a kennel club and you only want a dog program, I can do that. It doesn't have to be all animal, even though I think it's important to promote all animal care because we do have multi-pet homes. But I can tailor it to the person's needs, and that's what's so great about my program. I can tailor it to what is needed by your group or your home.
Awesome. And, you know, I want to give Janae's website out again. It's doge911.com. And I also want to give out United K9, the letter K, number 9, professionals with an S.com for anybody who has issues with a dog, which might be a problem in a time of disaster. Even a first responder who can't get into a home to save you because you have a dog that won't let them in, or an aggressive cat or ferret or whatever it is. But dog-wise, United Canine Professionals can help you. And it's a really serious issue because certainly we don't want an aggressive dog or an out-of-control dog to prevent first responders from coming in and saving you and your family and your home. So, and also, a lot of you know because you follow us on Facebook, UnitedK9Professionals.com, that we are currently looking for people. We only have about 2 spots open. We have had over 200 people applying. We're only accepting 15 people, but we have a couple spots open. We're looking for people all over the country, but particularly in Arizona and California for this coming class. So if you know anybody who's interested in learning natural canine behavior rehabilitation, or perhaps in becoming a service dog or therapy dog trainer, even working in a school with special needs kids, we offer that through merlinskids.org and unitedcanineprofessionals.com. Well, you know, it's just a really fascinating and really interesting show, and it's great. It's been my pleasure to know Janae Bowen and to be able to see her working and all the wonderful things that she is doing. We want you to support her. Donate. You know, yes, we want you to donate to Merlin's Kids so we can provide more free service dogs and services for kids with autism and other special needs and veterans, people with disabilities of all different types. But we also want you to help Janae. Janae's one of our partners. And when we have a partner with United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, we really want you to support her. So you know, take out your checkbook or go online to merlinskids.org and doggy911. And, you know, we've all got to get rid of a few bucks other than us who put all our money in so we don't have any money left. But I'm going to donate some money to Doggy911. And I ask everybody, take out your checkbook, donate $20 to Merlin's Kids to help save a dog, and donate $20 to Doggy911 to help save those dogs that we rescue. And please remember to stay tuned Tuesday night. From shelter dog to service dog, we'll be talking about great things that have been happening with Merlin's Kids and some of our new rescue dogs. And, of course, next Friday night again, same bat time, same bat channel, to this great station, to For the Love of Dog. Have a wonderful weekend.